Welcome and Saba blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room and also over the phone and radio and later on recording. Saba blessing, everyone. For those that are listening on the phone, I hope the audio is very clear. And welcome on this blessed Sabbath, January 19, 2019. This is our part two review of chapter 58 entitled Lazarus Comfort. This is our part four of lesson 269. Our opening hymn to our theme is entitled Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. This life for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he pass and we follow him there. All sin no more has dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious brethren that are joining us. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, our guests would like to open with prayer, unmute your mic.
May we humble ourselves for the opening prayers. Where possible, we can kneel. Our most kind Father, we thank you this morning over that side of the world, that we are come into a fellowship, and we invite you, O Lord, to come and minister unto us. Lord, send us the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us. Lord of heaven, we believe the blessings of the Lord are with us. May you continue to embrace us in these very last days. Loving Father, we thank you that there are many who yearn for your word, and you are providing through your servants. Touch them and let them shine into the world. Those who have accessories for these technologies, Lord, help them to join us. Those who wish to join at a later time, Lord, bless them with your word. Loving Father, as we continue this format, we pray that you bind us united with your word, so that the world may know that you work amongst. We pray for those who are afflicted with various problems. Lord, lift up your strong hand that they may know that you are a mighty God. When we pray to you, you listen and answer us. Lord, we know we have men to ask, but before you ask, you know them. And Lord, you provide accordingly. We pray that whatever we ask and whatever you give us, may we use it for your own glory. That when Christ comes for the second time, he finds many waiting for him to praise him forever and ever. Loving Father, thank you that you always listen to us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, dear Brother Joel. Our opening verses for our review lesson is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18 from the King James Version, and I'm going to sing it as a memory verse. It has a little small margin that says, "That's what God says." Come now and let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now and let us reason together. That's what God says. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. So what have we learned in ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear your questions and your comments, let us take a few minutes to review what we have read last Sabbath from part one of our lesson, Lazarus Come Forth, part four, in our Desire of Ages lesson book. If you would like to participate, dear ones, you have a little icon that shows a hands up, so like that we could be able to have an idea who are the ones that would like to read. So, dear ones, you can unmute. We are in Desire of Ages, page 529.
Desire of Ages, page 529. In delaying to come to Lazarus, Christ had a purpose of mercy toward those who had not received him. He tarried that by raising Lazarus from the dead, he might give to his stubborn, unbelieving people another evidence that he was indeed the resurrection and the life. He was loath to give up all hope of the people, the poor, wandering sheep of the house of Israel. His heart was breaking because of their impatience. And on the slide, it shows a picture of him, of what was said there. I am the resurrection and the life. You can turn on the next slide, please. And continuing. In his mercy, he proposed to give them one more evidence that he was the restorer, the one who alone could bring life and immortality to light. This was to be an evidence that the priest could not misinterpret. This was the reason of his delay in going to Bethany. This crowning miracle, the raising of Lazarus, was to set the seal of God on his work and on his claim to divinity. Desire of Ages, page 529, paragraph 1. And on the slide, it has a verse from 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 10. but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And then it says Jesus is the light of the world. Amen.
Continuing, dear ones, we are in Desire of Ages, page 529. If any one of the dear brothers would like to continue with the next paragraph, you can unmute yourself to be able to read.
On his journey to Bethany, Jesus, according to his custom, ministered to the sick and the needy. Upon reaching the town, he sent a messenger to the sisters with the tidings of his arrival. Christ did not at once enter the house, but he remained in the quiet place by the wayside. The great outward display observed by the Jews at the days of friend or relatives was with the spirit. He heard the sound of wailing from the herd mourners, and he did not wish to meet the sisters in a scene of confusion. Among the mourning friends were relatives of the family, some of whom held high positions of responsibility in Jerusalem. Among these were some of Christ's bitterest enemy. Christ knew their purposes, and therefore he did not at once make himself known. Desire of Ages, page 529, paragraph 2.
Dear family, if you would like to continue participating, you can be able to leave your hand icon to be raised, that we will know who are the ones that will be able to read, okay?
Continuing. On his journey to Bethany, Jesus, according to his custom, ministered to the sick and the needy. Upon reaching the town, he sent a messenger to the sisters with the tidings of his arrival. Christ did not at once enter the house, but remained in a quiet place by the wayside. The great outward display observed by the Jews at the death of friends or relatives was not in harmony with the spirit of Christ. And continuing on the next slide. He heard the sound of wailing from the hired mourners, and he did not wish to meet the sisters in the scene of confusion among the mourning friends, were relatives of the family, of some of whom held high positions of responsibility in Jerusalem. Among these were some of Christ's bitterest enemies. Christ knew their purpose, and therefore he did not at once make himself known. Desire of Ages, page 529, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages, page 529. The message was given to Martha so quietly that others in the room did not hear. Absorbed in her grief, Mary did not hear the words. Rising at once, Martha went out to meet her Lord, but thinking that she had gone to the place where Lazarus was buried, Mary sat still in her sorrow, making no outcry. Desire of Ages, page 529, paragraph 3.
Continuing the reading. Shall I bless you, everyone? Desire of Ages 529. Martha hastened to meet Jesus. Her heart, her heart agitated by conflicting emotion. His expressive face, she read the same tenderness and love that had always been there. Her confidence in him was unbroken, but she thought of her dearly loved brother, who Jesus also had loved. Next slide, please. Continuing the reading, Desire of Ages 529, with grief surging in her heart because Christ had not come before yet, with hope that even now he would do something to comfort them, she said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Over and over again, amid the turmoil made by the mourners, the sister had repeated these words, Desire of Ages 529, paragraph 4. Amen.
We are in Desire of Ages, page 529. Mics up, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. With human and divine pity, Jesus looked into her sorrowful, careworn face. Martha had no inclination to recount the past. All was expressed by the pathetic words, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But looking into that face of love, she added, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Desire of Ages 529, paragraph 5. Amen.
Praise the Lord, and thank you so much, dear family. So let's consider this verse for our review section. We are going to open the mic. And just remember that with the icon, with your hands raised, you will be able to let the other reverends who are going to be the one to answer or read or share. It's taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 from the King James Version, and it reads, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what have we learned and ways we have grown? Dear ones, the room is open and you can unmute your mic if you have any questions, any comment or your thoughts.
Amen, and thank you, dear sister. And just a reminder for those on the phone, if you have a question or have a comment to make, please hit star 9, and that will bring up a raised hand, and then we'll be able to know that you want to speak, and we'll release your mic. So, again, those on the phone, hit star 9 if you'd like to speak in the room.
Meanwhile, that our dear brethren are searching in the reading or even trying to be able to get their thoughts together, dear ones, if there's any comments that anyone would like to share, you could be able to unmute your mic, dear ones. For those listening on the phone, if there's any comment that you would like to share, this is the time you can do so. There is a poem that I found that if any one of the dear brethren would like to read it in the room for me, this is the section that we are going to still allow a little window for the dear brethren to recollect their thoughts. The poem is entitled Heaven, written by Sarah M. Swan, and the area was Orwell, Ohio, July 30th, 1857. It's taken from September 3rd, 1857, from Advent Review, Sabbath Herald, page 137, paragraph 2 through 8. If any one of the dear brethren would like to read it for me, you can unmute your mic.
Oh, tell me of heaven, sweet heaven, the home of the pure and the blessed, where sorrow and sin cannot enter, where the weary forever shall rest. Let me hear of that heavenly city where all is immortal and fair, and I'll flee from all earthly enchantments and earnestly strive to be there. Let others seek earthly possessions and lay up their treasures below. I have heard of a land that is better, and to seek it with and or I'll go. I have heard of a world robed in glory and freed from temptation and care, where sickness and death may not enter, and I long, oh, I long to be there. Ambition may spread her bright phantoms and whisper of honor and fame. She may lure on her thousands to labor to win an illustrious name. Be this my ambition to follow the path my Redeemer has trod, be an heir of his heavenly kingdom, and dwell in the city of God. Though the way of the wicked may prosper and be sprinkled with flowers so gay, though wide be the path that they travel and pleasant and easy the way, though no troubles their path may encompass and triumph haunt through life they may go, I'll envy them not for their journey, ends only in sorrow and woe. Let me enter the gate that is narrow, the way that with danger is spread. And though rugged and dark be my pathway, one bright ray is over it shed. For I hear the sweet voice of my Savior saying, fear not, for I am thy God. I know thy temptations and trials, for I, the rough pathway, have trod. Dear Savior, thy promise is precious. Thy guidance I evermore crave. Oh, help me to walk in thy footsteps and trust in thy power to save. Oh, give me a place in thy kingdom when life with its turmoil is o'er. Let me dwell with the King in his beauty. And I ask, oh, I ask for no more.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. And I wanted to share that poem for those that are going through any bereavement, or maybe you can be able to share it with those that have lost their loved one. And we just want to be able to give those that are listening the opportunity for what was written in the room. We have a dear sister that she had asked a question. She says, why was it a custom to hire mourners? Were they not filled with emotion at their loss to be able to cry on their own? And our dear brother answered, I guess to try and reach the hard-hearted to break down and cry to release the emotional hurt. That's for those that were listening. I was not able to see that in the room. Let me just take a little bit of moment to be able to scroll up to see if we have anything. We do not want to be able to miss any of the question or comments, that nothing will be lost. Okay. Welcome to all the precious family that was able to come in at the time. If there's no other questions or comments and thought, do you have any testimony to share with your brethren? You have the opportunity to do so by unmuting and sharing their ones.
I have a testimony. My testimony is I was able to get a new vehicle before my transmission went out in my van. And I am excited because it is something that I was looking forward to getting. And God made a way for me to do it without having to have a co-signer.
Praise the Lord indeed, my sister. What a wonderful testimony indeed. Is there any other brethren that would like to be able to share their testimony of the goodness of the Lord?
I had on place in the room that from the study that I had learned that it is the best thing for us to trust and be patient in the Lord. Though in the flesh sometimes we do get impatient, it is the best course of action to always just wait on the Lord. Because when we take things into our own hands, we tend to make a mess and a mockery of what it is and creating a bigger problem. And truly waiting on the Lord, though it may take a little time longer, things will work out in the best way possible. And this is just from various things that I have observed in my walk and the walk of others that are around me, and just in the day-to-day, that truly wait upon the Lord and lean not onto our own understanding, because we know nothing enough to make sound decisions for ourselves. So just wanted to share that in doing that. It's, as I said, it's not always easy, and I've heard people say that God is taking too long, or it is taking too long for it to happen. And my warning is, be careful not to blaspheme, because God is in control, believe it or not. You might think that you are the alarm clock woke you up, or something of the sort that makes you feel like you're empowered. But truly, it is the Lord's mercy that is upon us every single day that gives us the opportunity to wake up and to move and to do anything whatsoever. So that's just one thing that I wanted to share with this group.
Thank you so much, dear sister. What a beautiful ammunition as well. And I also wanted to add another comment that was placed in the room. It said, traditions and customs sometimes have no reasonable answer for why they were practiced. And thank you so much, dear family, for sharing your testimony. If there's any other testimony that you would like to share with the room, and if not, we are going to give our dear brother Dick a chance to be able to ask questions on the section of the story time. Please keep your thoughts or your testimonies or your comments and your question. We still have other services where it can be brought forth.
Good morning, boys and girls. This is a review of last week. We're going to go over last week's story and kind of impress a little deeper in your minds the story and some of the definitions. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Proverbs 2:11. And discretion means you'll know the difference between right and wrong. That's something that people in this generation have lost. By your choice words and a constant course of action, by your propriety, that means how you act and speak, your earnest piety, you're a good Christian, makes a telling confession of your faith. In other words, it tells other people, this man's a Christian. This boy or girl is a Christian. And determines that Christ will occupy the throne of the soul temple and lay your talents or your abilities or whatever else you know how to do without reserve at his feet to be employed in his service. Make it the law of your life, from which no temptation or side interest shall cause you to turn. Make it the law of your life to honor God. In this fast age, reeking with corruption, that means corruption is everywhere, you are not safe unless you stand guarded. Virtue and modesty are rare. I appeal to you as followers of Christ, making an exalted profession. You show that you are sons and daughters of the King, that's Jesus Christ, to cherish the precious, priceless gem of modesty. This will guard virtue. One area where modesty is shown is in our dress. Another is in our speech. Holiness of heart will never lead to impure actions. The truth of heavenly origin never degrades the receiver. It doesn't make you worldly or undesirable in good company. The wicked don't like to hear it. On the contrary, it sanctifies the believer, makes you like Jesus, refines his taste, it makes you love that which is holy, elevates and ennobles him, and brings him into a close connection with Jesus. It leads him to regard the Apostle Paul's injunction, or teaching, to abstain from even the appearance of evil. If you say you're a Christian, don't act and dress like a worldling, lest his good should be evil spoken of. This is a subject to which we must give heed or listen. We must guard against the sins of this degenerate age. We must stand aloof or separate from everything that savors of undue familiarity. It's okay to show affection to your parents, your brothers and sisters, your relatives. By doing the same to people that you don't know or that are of the world, this is called familiarity. God condemns it. It is forbidden ground upon which it is unsafe to set the feet. In other words, don't do it. Every word and action should tend to elevate, refine, and ennoble the character. My good name is capital, or in other words, it has value, of far more value to me than gold or silver. Let me preserve it untarnished. Untarnished means don't do anything to give yourself a bad name. If you say you're a Christian, don't use bad or vulgar language. If men assail that name or say bad things about you or Jesus Christ, it shall not be because I have given them occasion to do so, but for the same reason that they spoke evil of Christ, because they hated the purity and holiness of his character, for it was a constant rebuke to them. Sons and Daughters of God, page 186. You remember what discretion was? It means you know the difference between right and wrong. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Proverbs 2:11. Any questions that I forgot to ask you those to begin with? But if you have something, put it in the chat room and we'll do our best to answer. Let's see, were there any over here? Okay, I don't see any questions, so I'll turn it back to Rose. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you, dear brethren, for your patience. Next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to continue with part 5 of our lesson entitled Lazarus Comfort in our storybook, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear brethren, little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close with prayer, bubble up.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads in our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for letting us be able to have this blessed day. We thank you for letting us be able to wake us up this morning. We thank you for letting us be able to have another blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins, our iniquities, and our oppressed spirits. Forgive us if we've done anything wrong or sight without even knowing. I pray that you may be with us wherever we go and whatever we do. Let us be able to keep on cherishing every lesson that we learn of, and hopefully we can be able to keep those lessons in mind. And even when there are tough days ahead of us, even tough people who may give us those troubles that are even more difficult to take over a handle. We pray that you may be able to be our shield, Lord, and our protection from any worldly things that may come that may corrupt us or in our character. And let us remember that you always is there to guide us in everything in life. If let us be able to also keep on being strong and being pure and being holy as you are. Let us also be obedient, faithful, unselfish, noble, and full of integrity and honest in every character trait that you wish us to be. Let us be able to also keep on being truthful, and even when there are tough times, or even if we feel nervous of the aid of the result, or we don't know that will happen, we pray that you may be able to help us overcome it anyway. Let us be able to stand against every temptation that the devil may use to turn us away, or to make us be feel guilt or even sorrowful. We pray that you may be able to be with us as we use our words and inspire many people today to know who you are, that they may choose you instead of go their own ways. I pray that you may be able to help us keep on learning, keep on trusting thee, and also keep on understanding more and more. We love you, Lord God. Looking forward to meeting you in the apostles. This is my prayer, my first morning. Amen.
And I have a question from the last, from the children's story. But, if you prefer, I would be able to say it after Elder Rock did it, youth and adult story.
Okay, we are going to give a chance for the service to be able to be handed, and then through the youth study, you will be able to also share your question, just to be able to end our section. So dear ones, thank you for the participation, and next Sabbath, by God's grace, that will be January 26, 2019, we will continue with lesson 270. Part 5 of our lesson entitled Lazarus Comfort. We also will bid you, Father, to be able to be with all of us in the next services, open our hearts and our ears that we may be able to understand, and to have the strength to put them into practical use. So have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath, dear ones.